The Chinese believe there is a god of everything.
Welcome to a very special HanagaoCast bonus Cabin Fever My Name is Bruce review. But be warned, unleashing the spirit of Guan Di will also unleash detailed plot spoilers and some salty language, so listener discretion is advised.
Guan Di is his name. Guan Yu, Guan Mi, Guan Di. Guan Di is his name.
And after a long winter's nap, HanagaoCast has returned. HanagaoCast here, never question it ever. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to a brand new fan / listener, RonP1979. He had written a very nice iTunes review, saying, "I am enjoying the show, 4 stars out of 5. The commentator has a strong passion for the topics that he discusses. The show is a lot of fun and very informative. I'm so glad that I found the show. The Facebook page is also a lot of fun, too." Thank you very much, RonP1979. And to all the other listeners out there, now I know people have not been writing feedback, but they have been commentating on Facebook about the show, so I thank you. And for about a tenth of a second, I was wallowing in self-pity, mainly because this year at the GeekCast Radio Network Awards, I did not get a nomination for Best Partner Podcast. The nomination didn't bother me. Whether or not I won didn't bother me. I was more concerned about listeners. Season 1, the first half, I knew was crap. The second half, though, got better. I got a co-host, Wyatt Jones, Dane Lamont from Punisher Body Count, and Dane and Jake at Classy. Has been guesting, as well as Jacob from Dane and Jake at Classy and Punisher Body Count. Also, Albert, also an editor on the Facebook page, you know, joins in. Unfortunately, things had happened. Two of the shows that Albert and I had worked on, Creepshow and Troll, got erased due to a virus. But the Creepshow podcast and the Troll podcast, we are going to be recording. They're going to be up and running again on Season 3, and I'll be discussing Season 3 in a little while. But a lot of things happened with Season 1, which, you know, got a better microphone now. I was using the internal microphone in the computer, and sometimes the PlayStation 3 Rock Band microphone. But now I bought a CAD condenser microphone, and a pop filter for the microphone, and a microphone stand. Didn't get a soundboard yet, but I looked at the statistics on Spreaker to see that there's only been a total of 727 downloads, but the plays have been in the quadruple digits. I'm not too sure what you, the listener, wants. I mean, I've put it out there on Facebook, and some people have responded and some haven't, but I was just more bummed out of whether or not the show should go on or not. So I've decided to make some changes for Season 2. It was supposed to premiere this month. Unfortunately, both Wyatt's and my work and school schedule was a little, you know, flaky. Pardon the pun, I know, with the snowstorm and everything. Also going through the birthday blahs, so Season 2 will premiere, if not January 31st, definitely sometime in the first week of February. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting for Wyatt to, hand me his MP3s so I can start to edit them together and put together the season premiere, which is The Great Dictator, mainly because saw the interview, I'm sure you all know the hoopla with the interview, I will not be reviewing that movie on this podcast. Or probably any podcast. I think the interview with James Franco and Seth Rogen is the biggest piece of horse shit, and if that was going to start World War III, I don't know what's scarier, the fact that this movie got greenlit, but it was, you know, that bad. So I decided, to put together some review podcasts that the best way to word it, a better series of movies that satirize foreign dictators or foreign, you know, leaders in a way. So that's why The Great Dictator starring Charlie Chaplin will be the season 2 premiere. And some DVDs that I wanted to review, the Godzilla, they've been getting some downloads, but not a lot. And when the oven is hot, you want to be involved. So I did check out Attack on Titan. I'm not a huge fan of anime, pardon the pun, but I like Attack on Titan, so I will be reviewing that in the not-too-distant future. Godzilla, we will continue with Godzilla and, you know, Gamera. But I'm trying to get a better idea, trying to take better notes, not depend so much on Wikipedia, and, you know, we'll see where this little journey takes us. And seasons 3 to 5 or 8 are going to be experimental because they're going to be themed on decades. So season 3, because Albert, as I said, one of the editors for the Facebook page, was requesting a lot of 80s movies because, you know, most of us are children of the 80s. So I figured for season 3 will be dedicated to nothing but the 80s. Movies, TVs, and yes, there were a lot of different TVs in the 80s, and I'll get to that too. So, no, that wasn't a blooper, believe me. I'll explain that, because there were some unique television sets in the 80s, besides TV shows. But anything involved in the 80s will be part of season 3. Not to say there won't be a contemporary bonus, you know, 21st century discussion podcast in the mix, but the major focus, 95% of Hanuk Outcast, will be the 80s, and season 4 will be the 70s, I've decided. And I'll see where this goes, and probably like season 8 or 9 will be, you know, the 80s volume 2, kind of like VH1's, you know, I Love the 80s, and I'll see where that takes me. And maybe season, you know, 10 will just be dedicated to anime. But again, you know, there'll be a bonus contemporary podcast about something, you know, non-animated related. But as I said, 95% of season 10 will probably just be anime. You know, you pretty much get the idea of where it'll go. And I'll see if these experiments with the podcasts will continue to work. But the 80s meant a lot to me. I do it now, but I have some ideas for season 2. So anything for season 3, and I have gotten a gift card from Amazon, so I bought 20-somewhat 80s movies. Masters of the Universe, Legend, Crawl, Conan, Red Sonja, the 80s version of The Fly, Flash Gordon, Defender of the Universe. You will not be disappointed what we're going to be putting together for Season 3. So Wyatt, Albert, also our new listener, Ronald. A lot of people have been stoked, a lot of people on the Facebook page, it exploded in a way of how happy they are. We have not only a Facebook page of close to 2,700 likes and some new, you know, fans, but I created a Facebook group as well called Hanuk Outcasts, and people have been very responsive on what's to behold for Season 3, including an 80s horror movie that the poster always enticed me, but for some reason I never rented the movie. I don't know why. I'll finally sit down and watch it. In the Company of Wolves. And most likely The Howling. I've never saw that either. So this will be an interesting journey for season 3. Also, we are still on, you know, all the social media, Twitter, Spreaker. There is an old RS feed that I'm aware of that, of course, is on, you know, the Hanuk Outcast podcast, which is the old season 1, you know, character of me as a zombie. That one, unfortunately, I've been trying to take down that old RS feed. Wasn't able to. But the new one that's designed of the Harley Quinn that was designed by Rene Batista, who I met on Facebook, and you know, I have written permission, you know, from a Facebook message that I could use that logo. That is a new, If you see anything that says Hunnic Outcast on it, you know, and you'll see more episodes in that RS feed, that's season 2 onward, and or at least when season 3 when I come up with a new logo. But in the meantime, I'm doing my best to get rid of the old feed, and I've been trying to contact iTunes, and I've been trying to erase it on my own. Don't know what to tell you, so I am aware of it. I guess it's always going to be, you know, the old feed that'll be, you know, frozen in time somehow until one day iTunes or Apple, you know, hears my pleas to have it taken down. So the Harley Quinn one will always be, you know, the new, and, you know, it says Hunnic Outcast, not Hunnic Outcast Podcast. I think Hunnic Outcast has a better ring to it. Also, partnered with GeekCastRadio.com, there is a donation drive going around. They're trying to collect $1,000 to help with costs. Please go to GeekCastRadio.com, click on the donation page. It's for a worthy cause to help out the site. We are not looking to put money in our pockets. I'm a partnered podcaster on there, but the hosts and creators are not looking to pocket money. They are trying to help, you know, for server fees and for maintenance. So please go in there to donate to help out GeekCastRadio.com. And please, you know, check out all the great shows on GeekCast Radio. You know, they have a new one now based on the 80s TV show Gem and the Holograms. So please check that one out. All, of course, all the other GeekCast Radio shows, Pullbag, the main GeekCast feed, Wars, all things Transformers, From the Command Center, the partnered shows, Turtle Flakes, Punisher Body Count, Geek Movie Scholars, Doctor Whoiverse. Please go into GeekCast Radio Network and check out all those wonderful shows, including all the non-GeekCast Radio Network shows that I subscribe to. There's a ton of them, a plethora, I tell you. I have tons. Now Playing Podcast is a big one. I have all the donation drives. They are worth it. They have a new one coming out that I believe is supposed to be for their spring-summer donation drive. Now Playing Podcast, I think they're going to be discussing Jurassic Park and Indiana Jones, The Goonies, and Congo, I believe. So, and also the new Poltergeist movie that's coming out. So please check them out. Also, please check out Two Dudes in an NES, Anything Ghost, The Arkham Sessions, The Batcave Podcast, Books and Nachos, Dane and Jake at Classy, Digital Drift. They were very, very, very nice when we did our Killing Joke podcast. We were able to take some footage. They did a radio drama on the Killing Joke, and they allowed us to use their footage. They mentioned us on Twitter. Please check out Digital Drift. Disney Film Project, very nice people. The HP Lovecraft Podcast, Kaiju Cast, of course, Marvelicious Toys, Masterpiece Cinema, Real Ghost Stories Online, Saturday Morning Rewind, also very nice people. So, and Tour Ghost Pizzeria Podcast. So hopefully I mentioned all the non-GeekCast Radio Network shows that I subscribe to. Please check out all, each and every one. They are awesome sauce. Now on to the main event. My name is Bruce. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Cabin Fever, why am I not discussing Evil Dead again? Because Evil Dead 1 and 2 are 80s movies, and I'm going to be saving them for Season 3. Army of Darkness, Season 4, and the Evil Dead remake I own, I've seen, I will discuss it. As well as discussing the supposed Stars Network TV show of Ash vs. Army of Darkness that's supposed to come out later this year, if that is true. But the reason why I'm discussing My Name is Bruce is because 2007 or 8, I had seen on the Roger Ebert homepage, he reviewed My Name is Bruce. I thought this would be a documentary on Bruce Campbell's life. After all, he had written 2 books. He has done a lot of Q&A sessions. I figured it was a documentary, and why is he getting such a bad review? It turns out My Name is Bruce is based, if you take Army of Darkness Three Amigos, which I also will be discussing in Season 3, or, you know, Season 10, I Love the 80s Part 2, you get the idea. And also there were these pulp magazines in the 30s and 40s and 50s about an actor who was a pirate and was asked to take care of real-life situations. You take all those, you put it in a blender, you hit frappe, you have My Name is Bruce. Not a great movie, but the Blu-ray that I got used, although you can buy it on Amazon, you know, brand new on cheap, I saw it on FYE, and I was like, mine. But the Blu-ray is good. By that I mean special features. It comes with a Dark Horse comic, because Dark Horse Comics put together this indie studio for this movie, and I guess others, but anyway, you have Michael Richards, who you know, was the producer. He has a small cameo in this movie. Bruce Campbell volunteered to direct because nobody else wanted to. And you have Ted Raimi, who, of course, is the brother of Sam Raimi, who has collaborated on Bruce on a lot of things, a lot of sci-fi, and by sci-fi, the Sci-Fi Channel. And now it's called SYFY. And this movie is also making fun of those Sci-Fi Channel movies, which is not a smart thing, and we'll get into that. But they're all in it, and Bruce decided that in 2006, when the movie's being greenlit, he has property in Medford, Oregon. Now, he made, you know, a lot of money from that Evil Dead $2, which, you know, and so on and so forth, with all these appearances and his voice work in video games. So, he has property in Oregon, and apparently in Jackson, Oregon, at the time, there's a music festival, so Bruce decided to save costs. 95% of this movie was going to be filmed on his property. And there are other scenes that are shot in Medford, Oregon, office property, in the Elks Lodge in Medford, Oregon, that it's used for the barroom scene, the town hall meeting, and town hall meeting, and the gun shop. But in order to save a lot of costs, the locals in Oregon are in the movie, you know, friends, family, anybody, you know, that Bruce knew, or he sent out a casting call, and just local theatrical actors decided to audition, and they got, you know, parts in this movie. And of course you have a few actors from the Evil Dead movies. They also have small cameos, and there's Ted Raimi, of course, that is one, who is Sweet Henrietta from Evil Dead 2, and in Army of Darkness, he's one of the knights in armor. Ted Raimi has three roles in this movie. You have the actor who played Cheryl from the first Evil Dead, plays Bruce's ex-wife. And of course, you got Dan Hicks, Jake from Evil Dead 2, and Tim Quall from Army of Darkness. They're in this movie as gay lovers, and you pretty much get the idea. What is the plot? The plot pretty much deals with these two kids who are trying to get laid, Clayton and Jeff, and it's supposed to be a satire, of course, on 80s horror movies. They go to a graveyard to meet these goth girls, and Jeff apparently is the Bruce Campbell aficionado. Unfortunately, they're on a blind date, and Jeff's date does not like Jeff because he's a dork. So, Jeff is frustrated, and while they're walking through this abandoned graveyard, it turns out that in real life, Oregon, you know, was also known for its, you know, gold rush days in the 1800s, and apparently there was a mine on this graveyard where these miners were Chinese laborers, and they were trapped in a cave-in. They prayed to Guan Di, the Chinese god of war, who's also a protector of Bean Curd, and yes, that is true. Apparently he's part of Chinese mythology. Guan Di spirit will now attack and kill all the ancestors of the, you know, the settlers that let the Chinese miners die in this cave-in. Apparently, the spirit of Guan Di has been trapped in this mine through a special amulet, but because Jeff is upset he's not getting laid that night, he walks over to the mine and he, you know, kicks down a door and he removes the amulet and releases Guan Di, and Guan Di kills Jeff's friend Clayton as well as the two girls they were, you know, on the date with. Jeff feels that he's responsible for releasing the spirit of Guan Di, so because he's a Bruce Campbell fan, he's going to contact Bruce Campbell. We find out that Bruce Campbell is a washed-up, has-been actor who is, or probably never was been. He's working on a sci-fi movie called, you know, SYFY movie, called Cave Alien 2, or Cave Alien. And it's, you know, satirizing those direct-to-DVD Bulgaria movies or sci-fi channel movies, where you see stagehands in and out of shots and people moving hands around them, boom microphones, anything that Christian Bale would have a shit fit over in the, you know, the Terminator Salvation set, if you remember that audio clip. Anyway, Bruce is just not respected by anybody. And when the shoot is over, he's disrespecting his fans, because this is supposed to be trivia on fans always asking him, you know, questions about Evil Dead and why he decided to star in, you know, Serving Sarah. So it's interesting. And there's also a fan in a wheelchair asks Bruce for an autograph, and apparently the actor who's in the wheelchair, this guy and Bruce were in a Detroit soap opera in 1983, and apparently this actor hasn't worked in years, so Bruce, you know, gave him the role. It's a funny moment, of course. The guy in the wheelchair turns to Bruce, asks for the autograph, and says, "Do you have a picture, you know, of yourself younger?" And then Bruce goes, "You know, you ever see the movie Rawhide?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, you know, you got to keep those doggies rolling." And he kicks the guy in the wheelchair at the curb, where off screen he gets hit by a car. Bruce apparently has been divorced. He apparently married the actor who played Cheryl in Evil Dead, even though, you know, in Evil Dead, Cheryl was the sister, not the girlfriend, that was Linda, but whatever. Apparently, Bruce now lives in a trailer because he's divorced, because he was cheating on his wife with their 12 dog walkers. They had 12 of them, and he slept with all of them. But she claimed that she divorced him because, not because of his whininess or his drinking, because he just could not commit. And that's not Bruce Campbell in real life. So, pretty much as you can tell, Bruce is playing a character on himself, and that shaves off points right there because it's stupid. He's drinking himself into oblivion. He's drinking out of the dog's dog dish. It just doesn't work. It's pathetic, because that's not what he's like in real life, and it's takes away from it. Anyway, Bruce's agent, this is one of many roles played by Ted Raimi, who plays the agent, who apparently tells Bruce that he has this birthday surprise for Bruce, but Bruce doesn't want to hear it. He's upset because he feels that he is just a washed-up actor, and he does bring up an interesting line read in this movie. Let's see where that came from. Okay. Bruce doesn't like doing these B-movies because he's afraid that he's losing his muse. Quote, "If an actor's life is like painting, then it's a work in progress. How can I create if my canvas is cracked, my paint is drying up, and all my brushes are covered with fake monster blood?" End quote. Which is an interesting point. I mean, Bruce Campbell has starred in a lot of B-movies, but a lot of them are cult favorites outside of Evil Dead. There is life outside of Evil Dead. He's led voices to, you know, The Mayor and Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs 2, The Ant Bully. I think he's been in a lot of B-movies like Maniac Cop and Moontrap, but, I mean, The Man with the Screaming Brain, but, you know, he doesn't have a shitty career or a shitastic career, so I can understand what it's supposed to be, but he's never really bitched about his career in real life, so, and he's never really bitched about it in his books, the two that he's written, so I don't quite understand since this is all, you know, him making fun of himself, it doesn't work. But anyway, he goes back to his trailer, and apparently Jeff contacted the agent and said that, you know, there's this Chinese god of war that's killing everybody in the town of Gold Lick, Oregon, which, by the way, Gold Lick is supposed to be based on a hill in Oregon called Gold Hill, and there's a mountain called Bald Lick, and Bruce took those two names and combined it to be Gold Lick, Oregon. And yes, as I said, there was a gold rush and Chinese miners that was, you know, real life. Jeff does consult with Bruce. Bruce thinks it's a joke. So, in desperation, Jeff has to knock out Bruce, put him in the trunk of his car, and drive Bruce to Gold Lick, Oregon. Eventually, Bruce thinks that this is part of the birthday surprise that his agent was cooking up. So he goes along with, you know, fighting a Chinese god of war. He, of course, makes a jackass out of himself, which is pretty much a callback to Army of Darkness, where Ash is hated throughout the first 20 minutes of Army of Darkness, and then he's, you know, people are feeding him grapes because he killed off a few of the Deadites, and he's just being a jerk to everybody. And that's pretty much what it feels like with My Name is Bruce. You know, if you put that scene next to what I just discussed in My Name is Bruce, it's pretty much a callback to Army of Darkness. And then Jeff has a single mother because her husband just left her, and this actor's name is, I think, Kelly Thorson. I don't know too much about her. There's not much really to say. I was not able to get... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Grace Thorson is the mother to Jeff. Was not able to find much about Grace, unfortunately. But she was fun to watch. I will give her that. And she had some great line reads, so... Anyway, Mayor of Gold Lick, who was also part of a folk singing team with his brother Butch, Ben and Butch. They are these folk singers and comedians. They sing the Gwandi song, and as I said, he also plays the mayor, and pretty much what they do is they try to explain to Mr. Campbell the spirit of Gwandi. They go to the town meeting, which is supposed to be in real life the Medford, Oregon town hall, and Bruce Campbell actually got some, you know, historical papers from what happened in the Gold Rush days, which he kind of uses for the presentation, you know, for the movie before they put in fake documentation about Gwandi. And Bruce, of course, is laughing off Gwandi, and Ted Raimi comes in with his next role, which is the old Chinese man Wing, who was the last descendant of all the miners who were killed in the 1800s. He thinks of Bruce as a chattering monkey, he thinks that Bruce is a joke, and he dismisses Bruce, and then he tells all the people of Gold Lick that Gwandi will kill them off one by one to avenge what happened to the miners, and he disappears. And then Ted Raimi, in his third and final role, plays Ted, the sign painter, who pretty much goes over to the Gold Lick sign and will, you know, knock off a number or repaint the number of the population, anyone who gets killed off by Gwandi, which is pretty funny because there's a moment where Ted, the sign painter, will get killed by Gwandi, and right before Ted dies, he'll, you know, he'll reduce the population because he is dying, so it's kind of interesting. But anyway, Bruce is pretty much making a jackass out of himself. He thinks that the town of Gold Lick is a joke because he thinks it's part of a show. He thinks that the residents are just actors. And when he's asked to, you know, kill Gwandi, the god of war, and Jeff, who's the number one fan of Bruce Campbell, hands Bruce a chainsaw called the Bruce Campbell 5000, Bruce just laughs it off and he says the chainsaws are just heavy, he'd just rather use a gun. And this, of course, starts to disappoint Jeff. They go to the gun shop, as I said, where Tim Quall from the Army of Darkness, where he played the blacksmith, he's now a owner of a gun shop, and he's dating, apparently, Dan Hicks, who played Jake in, Evil Dead 2, where they're gay lovers, doesn't really work too well. And they use lines like, I wish I could quit you from, you know, Brokeback Mountain, which, you know, this is after Heath Ledger passed away, and I have never seen Brokeback Mountain. I just know it's about two gay cowboys, and that's pretty much it. One day I'll sit down and watch Brokeback Mountain, but anyway, Bruce leads a posse to the graveyard where Guan Di is. Apparently, Bruce realizes that Guan Di is very much real, and just like Three Amigos or Bug's Life, the actor realizes that this is all real, and, you know, he's no hero, and Bruce does what Ash would do in Evil Dead 2, or Army of Darkness, runs away, leaving the posse to die, and Jeff is part of the posse. So, some people do get killed by Guan Di, and Bruce comes up to this kid, he steals a bicycle from the kid, and the kid says, you know, you were the worst thing from Hogan's Heroes, and then Bruce comes up to a truck and throws an old lady out of a truck, and the old lady gives him the finger, says, you're the worst thing from the movie Moontrap, a movie I will be reviewing, season 3, by the way, picked it up. Anyway, Bruce goes back to the town, and Jeff's mother's upset that Bruce left not only the people there to die, but Jeff to die as well. The posse is ready to tar and feather him. He grabs another truck and is able to get back to his trailer. Meanwhile, when Bruce gets back to his trailer, he gets his real birthday surprise, a singing prostitute and scripts for Cave Alien 3, 4, and 5. And then he gets a message from his ex-wife saying that the judge decided to triple the alimony and that they put out a restraining order so Bruce can never call her. And then all of a sudden Bruce gets a call from Jeff saying that, you know, Jeff has developed a disappointment disorder, but he's the one who's going to fight Guan Di because he's the one who released Guan Di. And Bruce, of course, will man up, and he goes back to Goldwick, and Jeff's mother is destroying all the things that, you know, Jeff had dedicated to Bruce Campbell. She just wants to destroy it all because, you know, Bruce let the town down. So Bruce and Jeff's mom try to make up, and they go to the graveyard, and on the way to the graveyard, they run into Wing, again played by Ted Raimi, who is scoffing at Bruce and Jeff's mother for trying to, you know, stop Guan Di, but Guan Di comes out of nowhere and kills Wing, which makes no sense, because if Wing is supposed to be Chinese, and Guan Di is supposed to be the protector of Chinese, I don't know why he kills Wing. It doesn't make any sense. But they run into Jeff, and Jeff apparently has a plunger, wires, and dynamite. So they concoct a plan. They still have some Bruce Campbell merchandise that Jeff collected. So Bruce takes a cardboard cutout from, you know, the book Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way, and they're at the graveyard, and they go back to the mine, and Bruce leads Guan Di into the mine, and then it allows Jeff to set up some charges, blows up the mine to trap Guan Di in. Bruce is able to get out and grab the medallion that Jeff had taken, put it on the mine, and trap Guan Di. But then all of a sudden, Guan Di still gets out. As they're about to come and as Guan Di's about to come and kill Jeff, his mother, and Bruce, the movie stops, and Bruce and, you know, Ted Raimi and Michael Richards are in the screening room, and Bruce says this ending is stupid, it makes no sense, I want to change it. So it gets changed to where, you know, Bruce married Jeff's mom, and Jeff is going to Harvard, goes back to the screening room, says that's a better ending, and Guan Di comes out of nowhere from the, you know, from behind the screen, and is starting to wrestle Bruce, and, you know, during the end credits, you know, the Butch brothers, again, are singing the ballad of Guan Di, and at the very end, Guan Di comes out of nowhere and kills the Butch brothers, and that's pretty much the movie. What trivia could I tell you about the movie again? Let's see. Well, it was filmed on Bruce Campbell's property, which the budget was of $1.5 million. It, I guess, helped on costs. You had locals from Oregon, which also helped on costs, and Bruce did put out a lot of ads for people that, you know, wanted to recycle or get rid of their wood. bring it, you know, to his property where they could build sets, and that's why a lot of the sets, you know, look run down or haggard, because of, you know, whatever wood they can get their hands on. I mentioned the trivia about this is supposed to be a, you know, based on that pulp comic that I can't remember the name of. But other than that, it is pretty much Three Amigos meets Army of Darkness. The movie itself, I give a half rating. But because of the Dark Horse comic that comes in the Blu-ray, and the one-hour documentary, Heart of Darkness, and the the fake trailer of Cave Alien 2, and the making of Cave Alien or Give Alien. I mean, it has a bunch of special features. I give it a 3. So 3.5 for this movie, 0 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. I give it a 3.5. I have to shave off points on the movie itself because, A, you just can't make fun of a bad movie. People don't make bad movies on purpose. I mean, there are people out there, yeah, a lot of reasons there could be the budget. There's a lot of reasons that, you know, what looks good on paper doesn't mean it's going to look good, you know. But, and people who can act or can't act, you know, it always comes back to budgetary issues. But you just can't go out and make a bad movie just because you grew up watching Mystery Science Theater 3000 or watching all the bad movies of the 50s or 60s. It never works when you try to make a bad movie to pay homage to those bad movies. It never jives. Bruce Campbell making fun of himself, being this has-been washed-up actor, it's not fun to watch because it's not what he's like in real life, and it almost feels like when I used to watch those behind-the-scenes of Lethal Weapon 4 or Gremlins 2 on HBO, and everybody was in character saying they don't like working with anybody on the set, and this guy's a jerk, and that guy's a jerk. These 15-minute, you know, I want to see the behind-the-scenes of the movie. I don't like when they're in character and they can't get along with anybody. When they play that little, you know, in-character, you know, joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've ever seen Gremlins 2, the behind-the-scenes featurette, Zach Galligan claims that Gizmo was hard to work with, and they show the puppet of Gizmo, you know, screaming that he wanted a cappuccino. I mean, that's kind of funny. But Lethal Weapon 4, where Mel Gibson claims he can't get along with Chris Rock, it never, ever works. I think if Bruce would have played himself, or if it would have been Ash in this universe, and not Bruce Campbell, it might have worked. But the actors, you know what? I can't really see anything about a lot of the actors. They're doing their best for this movie. I like the Butch Brothers. I like their song. But I even like the person who's playing Guandi is James Peck, who created the costume for Guandi. Apparently he's a Oregon thespian, and he's also a puppeteer, and he also helped create the cave alien monster. You know, the costume came out to like $125. They went to a costume shop, found a bug costume, and they dressed it up. And I mean, I understand that they're trying to make fun of the sci-fi movies that are out there in the Bulgarian movies, but it's very hard to make fun of something that's kind of crap to begin with, and then it's kind of like crapping on your career and saying you're better than where you came from. It's always given me a mixed message. The movie standalone, though, like I said, if I'm ever playing Final Fantasy X or Super Mario RPG and I want to, you know, collect experience points and I want background noise, the movie itself is good, but I mostly like to listen to the audio commentary and watch the one-hour documentary, Heart of Darkness, and that's pretty much it. So, that's, you know, but the dialogue in this movie, it's just, even, you know, the fact that Tim Quall was is gay for, you know, Jake from Evil Dead 2, it's so dated at this point. It just doesn't, you know, I just never feel it. But it was kind of unnecessary for them to be gay only because it just didn't make sense for them to be gay. And I did like Ted Raimi's characters, but even, you know, him playing Wing, but it just, this movie just regurgitated on itself, and in theory would have had a great idea, and all it really does is just piss on where people had come from the, I mean, Ted Raimi, Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, they start off doing all these bad movies, and or these Super 8 movies, and, you know, they did Evil Dead, and then they worked on a movie called Crime Wave, which I will be reviewing for Season 3. I don't know why, I just will. But then you, you know, it's never really good where, you know, never good to make fun of a bad movie, where never forget who you are, where you came from, is pretty much what I keep hammering over again. So, with that said, thank you again for listening and supporting the show, and you can find us on Facebook.com, Hunnic Outcast, the Facebook group, Hunnic Outcast, all social media, Hunnic Outcast, iTunes, Hunnic Outcast, Geekcast Radio, and that's pretty much all that there is to say. So again, thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you next time.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you looking for a weekly dose of gaming news and retro? Then check out Off the Cuff, available Fridays on Geekcast Radio Network from the producers of XRG. New name, same.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at Geekcast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
That was good. So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game, like Fact or Fiction, or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy? Who will win in a fight? Taking Too Far? Crazy But True News? Or
yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
The mining town of Golik, the year was 1870. The Chinese came to work and rid themselves of poverty. Then one night it happened, disaster struck. A rumble from below, the Chinese were stuck. An old Chinaman prayed for the loved ones he so cherished, asking the saint of Kurd to protect the souls who perished. Guan Di is his name. Guan Di is his name. Guan Yu, Guan Mi, Guan Di. Guan Di is his name.
with flashing red eyes and a flowing white beard. Everyone knew he was a god to be feared. No living creature survived his wrath. Everyone knew not to ever cross his path. Gwandi is his name. Gwandi is his name. Guan Yu, Guan Mi, Gwandi. Gwandi is his name. Gwandi.